Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Joining me in the studio, Chris Williams and Dr. Alice Benton.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hi, fellas. Hi, everybody listening.
Yeah, good to be here, as always.
It is good to be here. But, Chris.
Yes.
2 months from today, we're going to be in Israel.
It'll be really, really good to be there.
Don't rub it in, boys.
I'm just saying, it'll be good. Yes.
So it was so cool that they did the IQ test with all of us on radio to determine who would get to go on the trip.
And the dullards are going, yes. And the sharps are staying to keep things afloat. Yes.
I guess we need the education.
I guess that's what they told the bows that are going. But here's a question for you. I've been to Israel a few times, but what are you most looking for? When you think about being where Jesus walked, where literally being in the same field where Goliath fell and his head was severed. I mean, what is it you're looking most forward to?
I think one of the things, obviously I'm looking forward to, but what really is significant to me right now in my life is the Jordan. The history behind that.
Yeah.
It's where they entered the promised land. It's where the command to Joshua to be strong and courageous. It's where Jesus is baptized, where the pronouncement for Jesus and the rest of us that we are the beloved children of God in whom he is well pleased. Yeah. That's going to be a moment for me that I believe is going to be significant, and I'm really looking forward to being there.
Are you going to be baptized in the Jordan?
Oh, heck yeah.
Ooh. You're going to let Steve do it?
Yes.
Absolutely. It was such a thrill to baptize Madeline, and then later I baptized James there, and Mylon baptized me, and it's a wonderful thing. So anyway, if you want to join us, you can still, there are probably some places still available. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and if you've ever talked to anybody that has been on a New Life trip or journey, I think you'll hear that they're very unique. The content of the talks, a lot of work and preparation goes into that, so that it's not just, you know, the guides tell us all about the history of the place, and then we try to bring relevance to it. There's another trip, an added trip to Rome that some of the folks are taking, and so whatever it is, you know, whether it's just Israel or Israel and Rome, we know you'll enjoy going. So please call us. Also, Finding Freedom's coming up the 25th of January. That's going to be one amazing event. I can't wait. It's the New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom. Please, please call us and become part of a weekend where you can find freedom. Jennifer, Baltimore, Maryland, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, the music just started right when I clicked in there. So just hold on and we'll get to your call right after this, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. You are listening to New Life Live. We're really glad that you are. If you need some help beyond the program, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and it's also the same number where you can become part of the New Life Giving family. And we sure do need your help. It makes all the difference in the world to us that you can help us. We just pray God's healing upon you. And we know that A lot of folks are waiting for God to do what God's waiting for them to do. And we want to encourage you to exercise your faith. Take action. Don't just wish, hope, and dream. Do something you've never done before. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free, finding freedom. January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, joined by Chris Williams and Alice Benton. And we just pulled up Jennifer here, and we're talking with her. Jennifer, tell us what's going on. How can we help today?
Well, it's kind of it's a long story, so I'm just going to try to keep it short. I have bipolar disorder. And I, have been in therapy and on medication and have done, fairly well trying to keep it under control. And I was told by one of my therapists that I should join a NAMI group, which I did. Mm-hmm. And I met a man through NAMI. Mm-hmm.
Now, that refers to NAMI.
Right.
What do the initials stand for? It's for families with
National Alliance of the Mentally Ill.
Okay. All right. So you have a family member, and he has a family member, right?
No, it's me. I'm the
it's
one.
It's you. Okay.
We go to the. I have bipolar disorder, so it's
okay.
I'm through. And anyways, we became friends, and I thought something was going to become of this relationship, and it turned out it didn't.
Okay.
So I really, didn't want to go back through the NAMI group any longer because of that. I just became very depressed, and I was suicidal during last year. And I went, my doctor put me on antidepressants, and I'm feeling a whole lot better now. But I just didn't know how. And we had talked back and forth for a while, and now it's. I don't hear anything from him, and I was just wondering how you think I should handle that situation.
Okay. Well, I'm really sorry that it didn't go well for you, and I'm really glad that you're calling. Maybe we'll start with you, Alice. What do you think is her best path here?
Gosh, Jennifer, it was so painful for you that it didn't turn out how you hoped and expected it would. And I wonder about the past, if other people have also disappointed you and have left when you needed them to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Who was one of the most important?
Well, I was in a relationship for about 7 years after my divorce, and we talked about marriage, but then, I said I wasn't ready because I went through a bad divorce. And then when I was ready, he said, no, I don't want to marry you. So we quit seeing each other. And that was the last relationship I had been in for about 15 years. I decided I didn't want to get hurt again or get involved with somebody
So you were really risking by kind of putting your heart out on the line with this man after two relationships that were the divorce, how incredibly painful, and maybe even back to your family of origin, maybe there was loss back there too. So
my father, I never knew my father. He left when I was a baby, and I you know, I've had difficult relationships all my life.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, I just...
And Jennifer, hearing that you have been in treatment and you're getting medication, which is a great combination, have you been able to process all of these losses starting from the very beginning of your life? Have you been able to work through these well with a therapist?
You know, it's still in progress. I'm still working on it. I had a brother that at age 21 killed himself. So that's a big issue
there's
in my life.
There's the family. There's the family. Your father could have left because of bipolar. Now you have a brother killed himself?
Right. My brother at 21, we're a year apart, and he killed himself. And so it's been a long journey for me trying to cope with all of that and with my family.
Sure.
You know, our family was kind of destroyed by that whole thing. And, you know, I haven't really had a family to connect to.
Yeah.
And I've
well, what do you think she should do, Alice?
Well, I would hope that you're in weekly treatment and that you're talking all of this through with them, because you may have done some really good work in the past, but what happens with a triggering event like this when you're finally ready to risk again and your hopes are dashed is it can reopen
right.
those old emotional wounds, and it almost feels like the work you've done has been undone, but it may actually just be revealing that there is a bit more healing work to do. And so the way we get past a loss like this is by talking it through with safe people who don't try to hurry us through it too quickly, and by allowing our emotions to flow, the grief, but the anger too of how could this have happened to you yet again so many times in your life, getting angry,
right.
getting sad, and doing it in relationship with someone who can be understanding is the way to move through this proactively. But you have an awful lot of grief to deal with.
Mm-hmm. I have a really good therapist. And it's not a weekly basis, but it's, you know, each month I get together.
I don't think that's enough. Given that this last relationship sent you into such a depression and thoughts of suicide, I'd highly recommend once a week, if not more for a little while, to just get a good shot of healing in for you. Once a month is too far
right.
apart right now.
The other thing is to be sure that you're having your medication checked, monitored regularly, asking the psychiatrist. I'm hoping are you seeing a psychiatrist for the medication?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And just asking, are there other things we should try that might be helpful here? Chris, thoughts from you?
Hey, I really like what you guys said. And the only thing I would add to you, Jennifer, is I'm really proud of you. Bipolar disorder is a really serious condition that itself is resistant to treatment, but you have made strong decisions to get help for yourself, to find groups that support. And it's the same resiliency that's inside of you that got help for your bipolar is the same resiliency I want you to go find groups to help support you in your relational losses.
And Jennifer,
I joined the NAMI group, and because I got involved with this man, and he ended up, there was two, me and another woman at the group, and he ended up getting involved with her. And so I don't want to go back to NAMI.
No, you don't have to. There's a lot of other support groups, relationship healing groups.
And a spiritual family might be one of the best things to pursue, as you don't have your biological family around you, but God wants to put you in a family. And sometimes we restrict
right.
God's ability to do that by avoiding groups entirely.
That's true.
I do go to church. I have a good church home.
Have you ever joined a small group at your church?
Yes, I have.
And are you in one now?
Yeah. I haven't been going because, you know, after the relationship broke up, I went and I started working a part-time job along with my full-time job because I was just, you know, I wanted something to do. I didn't feel like sitting at home alone doing nothing all
you.
By
but don't let that block out that time for healthy relationship through that church small group.
Right.
Be really important.
But I haven't been going as regularly as I should, and I you know, just had other things going on. So,
yeah. Jennifer, we can get caught in the trap of getting too busy to get through a tough period, and then we sidestep the emotional process that we need to go through. It's understandable, but it doesn't help us to heal. So get back into the weekly therapy, get back into the small group again. You got to feel the feelings to be able to heal and move past them.
And, you know, relationships are very powerful. When we're hurting, we think it's the real thing, it's the right thing, but so often it's a drug. And whenever we end up moving too quickly, then we get abandoned or betrayed or abused, you know, there's the indication that maybe the opposite sex, the romantic relationship is something I've got to put on hold for even a couple of years so that I get myself, my act, back together. And that's what I would recommend here. I'll send you Take Your Life Back, and I hope and pray that that's going to give you some great, great insight and how to just stay yourself. There's a lot of us have been lost to reactivity. And we can't respond to God when we're reacting to something from way out of the past. All right, let's go to Carol, Charlotte, North Carolina. Listens on the internet. We're glad that she does. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, first
Hi,
I have to say you all have been wonderful through the years listening. Incredible programming, incredible people. Thank you so much for all the blessings and mm-hmm. the understanding.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for that.
Okay, so what's going on? I actually have a stepdaughter who has a 10-year-old daughter, my granddaughter, who I'm very concerned because she says she has PTSD and depression, but I personally suspect that it's something bigger, like bipolar or what's the other one? Personality, borderline personality disorder, whatever is serious. So she's being treated for the PTSD and depression. I don't think it's enough. My concern today, particular concern, is that she came by a couple days ago and looks like she's infatuated with the guy. And she does what she usually does. She's trying to lead with her daughter. So, for example, she said, one of the things she said, she brought a plate of food over, specialty kinds of food. And she wanted my husband and I to taste it because she figured if we passed the taste test, then he would. It would pass the taste test with him because he cooks a lot. And then she said, well, I told him he has to come and show her daughter how to cook this specialty food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just looked at her and I said, you know, that's your daughter. She's 10 years old. He can come and teach you how to cook, but not her. She shouldn't be involved in that. And immediately she kind of changed the subject. And anyway, so my question is, how do I attempt to try to get her to see that going down this road is not a good thing? And it just concerns me because the last time she was in a serious relationship, she did the same thing. She had the daughter calling a guy daddy on the first date. That's leading. She's also a big user of people.
That, you know what that is? That is abusive.
What?
That's abusive. Calling him daddy on the first.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
It's terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Chris, what do you think here? What should this mom do? This grandmother do?
Well, Carol, I think just continuing, it's so frustrating because you can't make your daughter do anything, your stepdaughter do anything, but you can continually invite her into honesty and truth by expressing what... and keep doing that. It's like, here's my concerns, here's really what I'm worried about, and that I'm mm-hmm. worried about this not only for you, but especially for the granddaughter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, Carol, I have a question. What guys have harmed you in your life?
In my life?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean, okay. All right. So who harmed me in my life?
Yeah.
My dad and my mom didn't make it through until I was like 10 years old. So mm-hmm. I realized in my adult life that not seeing that good relationship that I needed profoundly impacted me, so that I had to learn all over again what it meant to have a good marriage and to have good relationships with men.
Okay, yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. That's the major thing. I have a wonderful husband. We have a fabulous relationship. Not perfect, but very good. And
good. Well, with that said, there seemed to be a subtle fear of men, and I think your mm-hmm. stepdaughter has shown negative behavior towards, like, unhealthy introductions to men. I would especially get your husband involved in this one as well. Make it a team effort.
Okay. I agree with you, and I really wish I could. I need some help with that.
Yes.
Number one, when you say, I have a fear of men, I don't really have a fear of men. I don't have a fear of men at all.
Okay.
I'm scared because last year, this time, on January 1st, my daughter, that was the last time she attempted that I know of to have a relationship with a guy.
Yeah.
And the guy came over, and she physically fought him with my granddaughter in the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on. We got to come back to this right after the break.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are way back. I'm glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. If you need some help, we really do want to help you. Got a few more comments here for Carol. We're just so sad about what her daughter is doing with the granddaughter. It's not good. It's very unhealthy. Very bad for this little girl. Chris, you and Alice, what are you guys thinking here?
Well, Carol, you were explaining that there has actually been violence in front of the child, which we were mentioning that having the 10-year-old call daddy a new guy that the 10-year-old doesn't know daddy is abusive. But no, this is legitimately abusive to expose a child to violence between adults in the home. And so there needs to be very, very strong boundaries in your home with your stepdaughter, especially with
now,
males.
She has her own home. She wasn't in my home when that happened.
Okay, she was in your – okay.
About it after it happened. No, not in my home. Absolutely not. No way.
Okay. And so I would continue to take pretty drastic measures to keep this 10-year-old girl safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really unhealthy. Okay. Your daughter is really unhealthy.
Oh, I know these things. She's sick, and she's hiding behind the PTSD and depression instead of going to get help. My husband and I actually did some New Life counseling a year ago to try to help us figure out how we could deal with her in another way, because what we were doing didn't seem to be helping. She was just constantly pushing away.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've taken a different approach with her, which is to pull her closer. And I honestly do. I take the little girl as often as I possibly can. I keep her with me as much as I can to keep her in a better environment.
Well, I'm telling you,
but again,
you may have to come up
and leave with her.
You may have to communicate
to
your daughter.
You mentioned communicate. Also bringing my husband involved, get my husband involved.
Yes.
And every conversation I have with her, he is totally made aware of it. He just is not as willing to have those conversations because he believes it all boils down to her making a decision to get the proper help.
Okay, here's the thing. You have to, you may need to, be forced to tell her, here is what is not acceptable, and if you want to continue to be the mother of this little girl, you can't do this. We can't sit around and let this happen. You must not have her call men daddy on the first or the 15th date. You must not have her see violence on any date. We can't let this. It's on us. We know about this. We can't let this go on. You have to get some help for yourself. And you simply must make your daughter a priority, not you connecting with someone sick. You being in some kind of relationship rather than no relationship. We'll help you survive. You're not going to die of loneliness, but you're really hurting the life of your daughter. And we can't just sit back and let it happen and do nothing. Alice, you have a thought here before we go.
I'm wondering about the physical safety of the daughter and her emotional safety. Carol, do you think there was more than one physical altercation that the daughter was exposed to, or just one time?
I honestly don't know. I honestly do not know.
It sounds like you're
so
worried
enough. I wouldn't be surprised, but they're so secretive.
Well, I ask because I wonder if you would be willing to contact Child Protective Services so that an objective evaluation is done for the safety of your daughter, of your granddaughter, out of love and out of concern for your daughter, especially if your stepdaughter has not been willing to get help. If her daughter is in danger and if it's ongoing, a social worker would be able to evaluate that and then would be able to even mandate therapy if these red flags are as bad as they sound like they are and if it's ongoing. Would you take that step?
Right. I have to say this to you. I hear everything you're saying, and we've just kind of been trying to figure out what to do. And the thing is that she has been so secretive about this for so many years. She's like, she's so slick about it. So that if we can't prove, and I have
Carol, I'm going to step in It wouldn't be your position to prove anything. All you do when you make this sort of report is you bring up what you do know, and the fact that there was a physical altercation in front of your granddaughter is likely sufficient for a social worker to go speak with your granddaughter, evaluate it, and the social worker is the one that looks for proof or sufficient evidence to take the case any further or not.
I'm telling you, she's going to cover for her
mom. And that may be the case. We can do, though, Carol, all we can do is our part, and then we have to surrender what's out of our control. You can't force them to tell the truth.
Okay.
But a social worker is trained in being able to ask the right questions to get to the truth as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Her responses are out of our control.
Yeah.
But you can't, you don't want to enable the evil here. And I know you don't want to be on bad terms with your daughter, but it's so beyond all of that. Your little granddaughter really deserves so much more than this. Really, what you're trying to do is you're trying to bring your daughter to a place where your daughter is able to just say, "I need help," and she gets that help. That's what you're trying. You're not trying to take the daughter away. I mean, the granddaughter away from your daughter. You're just trying to motivate your daughter to get the help that she needs. That's the outcome that we're looking for. We'll be back.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, but it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 15th to the 17th.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Alice Benton, Chris Williams. I hope that something we've said for Carol is helpful. I'll send you the copy of the book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Bipolar Disorder. I'll also send you the one on borderline disorder. We've got this great series, Understanding and Loving a Person Who. And, you know, the persons who, it's borderline, it's narcissistic personality disorder, chemical dependency. So many great, great books to help you understand these folks that are struggling. And, oh, we feel for them. But sometimes in trying to help them, we just don't know what to do. And we end up hurting worse than helping, and that's what that book series is all about. Let's go to Susan. Pensacola, Florida is where she's calling from. See how we can help her. How you doing?
Doing all right. Thanks for taking my call today.
Yeah, we're happy that you called, but we suspect there's a problem that you're not happy about.
Yes, sir. So I live in Florida. My good friend lives in Oregon. And they recently just went through a breakup, and they're taking it really hard to the point of they've had written a suicide note, and now they're not planning to act on it, but they're still having these passive suicidal ideations. And I don't know how much I can help from far away, if there's anything more that I can do to kind of lift their spirits.
Well, I don't think it's lifting their spirit. It's encouraging your friend to get professional help in that kind of situation, or she's going to end up doing something that you can't come back from. That'd be my biggest fear. Chris, how do we help her with a friend so far away?
Yeah, this is really challenging, Susan, and very glad that you called in, because we are just seeing such a rise in depression and pain and angst that is leading to a lot of suicidal thoughts, ideations, and unfortunately, tragedies. And so this is actually a personal crisis and a national crisis at the same time. But just as Steve was saying, that actually you can lift your friend's spirit in the moment, and all it takes is a moment of severe despair, you know, an hour, 2 hours a day, 3 days later, for something tragic to happen. So it is absolutely essential that this friend in Oregon get the help that he or she needs. Professional care, professional guidance that would include a therapist, that would include a psychiatrist, and most likely ongoing group work as well.
Alice, your thought here?
Hey, yeah.
Susan, you could actually set up the initial appointment for your friend. And we have a network of counselors in all over the United States. So if you would be willing to set the appointment up, let your friend know, and then offer to help hold her accountable to go, it's packing a great punch to help move her towards the healing process. And then, of course, prayer to continue to keep her in prayer.
Now, here's what I think. I have to believe that if this breakup was so severe that she became suicidal, that, you know, her life is very centered on the man being the solution to all things, and she's probably pretty weak in the area of healthy female relationships. Do you think that's true or not?
Well, I mean, they did move to Oregon to be with their partner, so away from their family in Arizona. So I think that, you know, there are not a lot of interpersonal relationships outside of the now ex. So I think that could be true.
Okay, so one of the things you want to do is you want to encourage her to get a professional, a psychiatrist, probably needs medication. I'll send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. But here's the other thing. You want to try to help her go where there are some healthy female relationships and not just places to look for another romance. So where do we find healthy female relationships? We find them in healthy churches, right? Or we find them at the pottery class that we take, or whatever the class is, around a hobby or something. We find them volunteering at great places. Well, I would just be encouraging her to connect psychiatrist, psychologist, and females that can provide her with some really good redemptive relational connection. You guys have any other ideas of how she could, you know, develop those strong female relationships? She's out there by herself. No wonder she's suicidal.
Yeah, you know, and there are groups out there. And I think I just want to make this public announcement because it's critically important. If you're listening right now, or you have a loved one that you know is struggling with depression that is severe, or that has made even sort of an allusion to alluding thought or comment to ending their own life or not wanting to be around, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, please. Let us help you. Engage in our process. You can also call a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-TALK. There are so many resources out there to preserve life so that God can do his redemptive work in us.
And a mistake that we can make is avoiding talking about this, because it's a pretty scary topic. And we think, if we bring it up, are we pushing them towards the suicide? But no, this is when we bring this into the light, we get the secrets out in the open. So asking directly, how are you doing with those thoughts of death that you were having before?
Yeah.
Those kind of frank questions are really good to draw a person out of isolation.
Yeah. Okay, so we really want you to encourage her to do the positive things, do the reparative things, and just, you know, let her know you're always there for her. You're a phone call away, just like 1-800-NEW-LIFE is. But I'll tell you, there are folks walking around today, and they remember that final phone call. We had somebody close to us, and this happened. The person that committed suicide, they were the last phone call of despair, and they didn't do anything. They didn't take the action. So now they're saddled with all of this guilt and shame over not doing enough, not taking it seriously. So we don't want you to be in that position. When somebody feels like killing themselves and expresses that, we need to act on that and do whatever we can to encourage them to get the level of help. And that's quite a level of help that's needed there.
Yeah. Like if you're in that situation, obviously you're not responsible for the person taking their life. However, taking action is critically important and is available. And again, we're here to help with that.
Yeah. And, you know, so often it's not that a person wants to die. They just want the pain to stop. And if you're there for them, they know that that pain, well, it's not as severe when they've got somebody to go through it with them. And oh my goodness, the stories of people that once they do whatever that life-ending act is, you know, a woman shoots herself in the head and starts screaming. This is a true story. Help me, help me. I shot myself in the head. Well, you know, a second ago, she wanted to end her life. Well, not really. She wanted the pain to stop. And it took that pistol being fired before she kind of snapped out of it and saw what she was doing. So don't believe them that, you know, I'm safe. I'm not going to do anything. You take it seriously. Do what you can to help, both in the positive and eliminating some of the negative. Well, you're listening to New Life Live, and oh my goodness, we need your help and support. And one of the great ways you can help us is to join Club New Life. We'll send you a thumb drive from Milan and Kay Yurkovich, and the videos on the thumb drive, Anger and the Love Styles, Parenting Your Adult Children, 12 questions that will change any relationship, and then Talking to Your Kids About Sex. All of this from Milan and Kay, brand new videos. You won't see them anywhere else. It's exciting that they have put this together for us. And it's just simply our way of saying thank you for joining Club New Life, $30 a month. And if you're already a member of Club New Life, then you increase your giving and we can get that to you also. We love our New Life Club members. They allow us to exist here. They allow us to stay on the air. For a one-time gift, we'll send you Dr. Dave Stoop's new book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Wouldn't that be great? Well, it's true. The Bible tells us that we can literally transform our lives by changing the way that we think. We can live a totally different way, but it begins with a choice to live in a totally different way. It doesn't just happen. So you call us if you need some help, and you call us if you can help us. And if you can help us, we've got these gifts for you. We'll be back for our final segment here on New Life right after this.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I have to tell you what happened. I was on my way to Focus on the Family. I was taping two programs with them. I'm on the plane. I look over. The woman next to me, she's reading a book on her iPad. I look at what she's reading, and I can't believe it. And so I say to her, would you mind if I took a picture of what you're reading on your iPad? She said, why? Well, what she was reading was chapter 19 in Dr. Daniel Amen. We've had Dr. Amen on, in his book, his latest book on the brain, chapter 19. And it starts off, and it says, I got an email from my friend, Dr. Stephen Arterburn, New York Times bestselling author. She's reading this in his book, and the guy she's reading about is sitting next to her.
That's awesome.
So I said, well, the reason I want to take a picture is that's me. I'm the person you're reading with. She said, no, wait, no, that is not you. Yes, it's me.
Did you have to pull out ID and
you
prove
did?
It to her?
Yeah. Is that crazy?
And then
is
crazy. Did you sign her iPad?
No. But I did tell her Dr. Amen was a really nice guy.
That's great.
But anyway, every time I'll do something like that happens, I'll say to my wife, what are the chances? And she'll say, 100%. That's what we're dealing with here. Anyway, I don't think that was just a coincidence, because this was a young woman, Lila Rose is her name. She started a pro-life organization at the age of 15. Is that crazy?
Wow.
And they have over 3 million people as part of that, follow that group.
That's incredible.
Part of that. You can really make such a difference. The other thing, I was at church today, and we passed out 3,600 Take Your Life Backs in a prison. And when I was there, I met a guy, and when he accepted Christ, he walked down to the police station and said, I have to turn myself in.
Wow.
I've been having sex with a 12-year-old.
Oh, man.
And so this prison, minimum sentence, 30 years.
Mm. Wow.
And this guy is teaching a class. When he gets out, he wants to, he wants to get his degree. It's unbelievable what people do when they embrace the reality of their situation rather than just be upset that, you know, life. I mean, he could have said, yeah, hey, look, I turned myself in. I can't believe I have to pay the price. No, he knew he was going to go to prison when he turned himself in.
Yeah.
Incredible. All right. Let's go to our final caller. It is Maybelline from Oakland, California. Hi there.
Hello.
How you doing? Yes.
Hi. I'm doing all right. You know, I just happened to be sitting in my therapist's office right now. I had an appointment waiting on you. And I was calling because I have 5 sons. And from San Jose, I raised them myself as a single parent. They went to college. They stayed out of trouble. And now they're grown adults. They married. Most of them interracially married. And we have no contact. They don't call me. They don't visit. Christmas, none of them visited me, gave me a gift. Their wives never have called me since they've been married. And I'm trying to figure out how I can keep a relationship with them.
Well, first you gotta tell us what's their biggest complaint.
Their biggest complaint is that they used to say I was controlling and trying to run their life and everything. So I moved from San Jose to Oakland to start my own life, so that way I'm not involved in their relationships and stuff like that. And I have 7 grandsons. And, you know, I wanted visiting and stuff like that. And now I have 2 grandsons since I moved, and they won't visit me. They won't come to Oakland. Their wives don't call me.
Hold on a second. Now, Maybelline, yeah. I'm going to just comment on one thing, and then I'm going to start with Alice here. They say you're controlling, and rather than hear, you say, I'm gonna look at that. I'm going to go to work on that. You move. So it's
because
I don't know. I don't know that that's the message, or it got the message across to them that you were wanting to. Alice, what are you thinking here? Is there any hope here that you could see?
I think there's always hope, especially when there's a willingness to humbly acknowledge our imperfections as a mom. Maybelline, you've had it tough. 5 sons that you raised alone. Oh my goodness! Amen. So I first just want to applaud you.
Yes,
that you did that, and that you're still pursuing relationship with them despite the hurt you've gone through by the lack of contact. So Maybelline, if you would be willing to contact them, however they'll take it, whether it's by a letter, an email, a phone call, or back in person, to acknowledge, I'm an imperfect mom. And if you'll throw in, Maybelline, these are some of the things I know that I've done. I have been too pushy. I have been too controlling. And then maybe it even hurt you boys that I moved away when you brought it to my attention. And I actually want to hear from you boys. What else have I done? How has my controlling affected you? Maybelline, the real key here is to then just listen, because we all tend to engage in justification because we have our reasons why we did what we did. But if you want to heal the relationship with your son, you will humbly listen to what they have to say. You don't have to agree with it. But if we will listen and validate, it was tough for you. I made big mistakes as a mom. That is what opens the relationship back up to the possibility of reconciliation. It's tough to do. Easy for me to say, very difficult to do.
Yeah, I'm going to send you How We Love. It's going to give you some great insight into how this relationship went sideways. Chris, you have a comment before we go? We're about out of time.
No, I actually love what you guys said. Maybelline, again, as Alice said, your way is humility and courage.
Can never go wrong with humility, I don't think. We're not talking about humiliation.
No.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about valuing yourself, but valuing the other person enough where you can humbly admit, just maybe something I did here wasn't the very best path. If you need some help, we've got a phone call. A phone number for you. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Great things coming up. I mean, right now, if you want to be part of one of our weekends where people change their lives radically, February the 8th, San Jose, Every Man's Battle, and then Finding Freedom. That's our new life weekend, January the 25th. We want you to come and be part of that. Whatever it is you're struggling with, we can help you find freedom from it, and you will be in good hands and good company there. And then Intimacy and Marriage is February 15th, and you know who it's for. It's for those folks who think there is no hope. It's hopeless. Nothing you can do. You've tried everything. If you're feeling or have felt those kinds of things, boy, have we ever got a workshop for you. And this is a place, I'll tell you, it is a miracle manufacturing plant. If you need a miracle, all you have to do is the willingness, pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's scholarships available. But I'll tell you, it's powerful. It is spectacular. You know, if you look at John 8:31-32, it says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But what it really says is, if you're my disciples, you'll follow my teachings. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, a lot of times we get on that path to be a disciple, but we can't maintain it for whatever reason. If you've struggled and you're not able to live out that truth, we can help you. And all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. The Bible says it'll take out that cold, old, hard heart and replace it with a heart of life. If you've got a stony old heart, we can help you. We can transform, help you transform it through the power of God. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.